As Chinese philosopher Confucius expressed in his teachings, choose a job you love and you will never have to work a day in your life. This is what popular web TV host and author Lulu Massey calls the juice, the joy and abundance of life that can be lived every day once one finds their passion and their purpose. Lulu's journey, which has culminated in her well-known Juicy Living Tour, has brought a real magic, excitement, and purpose to her life and to many of her loyal viewers. But like all journeys, there were bumps in the road on the way to a destination of true fulfillment. I recently spoke with Lulu about her exciting path to creating what she refers to as the abundant journey of an open heart. I am so pleased to have Lulu Massey with me here today, all the way from France, and it's such an extraordinary pleasure to finally have you for an interview, Lulu, and finally turn the microphone the other way around, and I get to ask the questions, and you get to do the talking.
Thank you.
So welcome, welcome. How's everything going?
Pretty good, yeah. Just relaxing after quite a lot of traveling and interviews.
I know.
It's good to be on the other side. I like being interviewed too. It's fun.
Well, it is. It's always fun to talk to you. And I know that when all of us, the thousands and thousands of people that listen to your wonderful interviews, you're always sharing your lovely light, and we get to see you. And now we get to hear more of you today. So I want to really talk about your story. And I know you have an extraordinary story, one that was highlighted in your latest book, I Had No Money and I Liked It. So I'd love to talk about that. But you know, Lulu, before we get into that, I really want to ask you, how did you get into this field of work and choosing the topics that you cover in what we call the alternative world?
I got into it little by little. I started in 2006 to video blog on YouTube, and because I had co-founded the 100 Day Reality Challenge with two other authors. And so we were looking for a platform, and I started video blogging, and then some people started listening to what I had to say, and I thought, well, this is strange. And then I started recording some meditations, and more people were coming, and at some point, because I was participating to seminars on personal growth, and I thought, wow, this is pretty cool. I would love to talk to these people, and I just had this chance to meet naturally people. There were teachers or authors or entrepreneurs, just what I call juicy people, and one thing led to the next, and at some point I started to take my camera, and I was using the flip camera for a long time, and uploading that directly on YouTube, and eventually I decided to do it on Skype, because I was back in Europe at the time, and I just wanted to use technology so I could interview anybody, anywhere. And then it turned out into a Juicy Living Tour, which I'm doing now. Mm-hmm. And this is the second edition now throughout Europe. I'm traveling and interviewing wonderful people that are showing how this planet right now is shifting and is changing. And it's such a wonderful, I guess, job that I have created for myself. I wouldn't even call it job, but I just, it's really life that feels good and that feels really aligned with, if I could say, what I was born to do.
Right. Well, that's fantastic. I love stories of journeys that unfold naturally and culminate into life's work. And, you know, there's an old saying that says, if you love what you do, you don't have to work a day in your life. And I think that's what you've discovered through this journey.
Yeah, so that's fantastic. It's so true. It's so, so true. And I think it's to all of us. And that's one of the reasons why I do all those videos, is to really people realize how exceptional we are as human beings, how much potential there is in this lifetime to shine and to help and to be there for others and to let go of some things that were holding us back, and that by finding and doing every day what we love, no matter what it is, the more we focus our attention on that, whether it's gardening or whatever we do in all our day-to-day moments and things that we have to do and errands or what have you, then it's just our life transforms and more beautiful things come. Mm-hmm. And I do not, yeah, it's true, I work a lot though, I must say. I travel, I do a lot of interviews every day. I go from one country to the next, most of the time alone. And I put the camera, and I'm in front of the camera, and then I interview those people. But it's a lot of coordination and a lot of hours and editing those videos, too.
That's right, yeah.
But it's so much something that is in my heart. There's no way I could kind of live without it. And at the same time, I could. I find a lot of paradox in life, too. So
absolutely.
It's something that my heart desires, and at the same time, it's needed and not needed. You know, it's a strange thing. But it's the more it goes, the more it's unconditional. And I think the more we do things unconditionally, just because we love it and we have a great time at it, then things come to us. Then.
Well, I think it's great because what you are doing is you're interviewing people who have so much to share about the broader spectrum of reality, the nature of the self, and yet you're not just interviewing Lilu, you're living that as well. And I really think that's why you resonate with so many people, because they see that, you know, in journalism, as you may know, I was trained as a journalist, so one of the first rules of thumb in journalism is being objective, that is detaching yourself from those that you're interviewing. But this is a little bit of a different story, isn't it? It's really about being an example and being a participant in those that you're interviewing. That's not to say you're going to agree with everything that everyone you interview is saying, but generally speaking, you're living through the messages that you're hearing. Would you say that's correct?
Yeah, I do. What's for sure is that when I'm doing an interview, as much as possible, I get in the person's world and try to understand where they're coming from and how it is for them and their message without being hard on them, you know, just listening and opening up and coming from a place of love and kind of bringing, I guess, some healing to some topics that were probably looked down onto from the big medias. You know, so there are some topics that are really out of the box, like self-healing or consciousness or conspiracy theories or what have you. And no matter what the point of view of the person, and sometimes I could feel also some anger in the people I interview, or,
really?
Or great joy, or great love, or whatever it is, I ride with that, and kind of and just enjoy my time and learn what there is to learn there. It doesn't mean that I would agree with everything they're saying, but at least I'm listening. I'm listening to other point of view. I'm there, and most of the time, and actually all the time, I choose people that I do have a connection with. So it's usually, again, happens very naturally, and I prepare the interviews. I look at that person, but very quickly, within seconds, actually, now when I receive suggestions, because I receive interview suggestions from all around the world, and sometimes I arrive in a country that speak a different language I have never been in, so it's a lot of people have this question, like, how do you select the people that you interview, and how do you go about it? And frankly, I use a lot my intuition. Within seconds, I will know if this will be a match or not, and that part, I think, of the more that we do things that we enjoy, and the more we let go of the past, the more we become this kind of way more intuitive human being, less stressed, in the flow, allowing things to happen, not forcing closed doors. It's like this naturalness,
mm-hmm.
this life force that is really powerful and beautiful that guides us.
And do you think this life force, Lilu, is becoming more burgeoning at this time that we're living in? Many people have called it the shift, a time of, some say, the quarantine is being lifted from the planet, and now we're able to experience a much bigger and broader state of reality, and so intuition can be developed even quicker and et cetera. What do you think about that?
I think it's a great question, and I believe it's, I can only say that I feel that the more of us open up, the more we're hearing those stories, the more we're sharing with others naturally, then it's like it gives us, of course, the energy, it gives us the recognition, the remembering, it's strengthening, and it gives us more confidence in this too. And so as more people are realizing that there's just more than this material life, way, way more,
mm-hmm.
then the more we're we're opening up to this much bigger reality, and then it gives us so much energy, so much force, so much passion and creativity and ideas that we can evolve very quickly. We can be activated very quickly. We very quickly can see more things and trust ourselves and know that everything is perfectly in order. Mm-hmm. And I think we need those tools these days because it's too chaotic and there is the crisis and God knows where this economy is going to go and how the markets are going to crash and how many jobs are going to be lost and how many more publicity messages are going to come to us and how much fake information are we going to receive through TV. And we really need to be different human beings. We need to evolve. Mm-hmm. It's a must to live in peace with ourselves and in harmony and feel aware and conscious and live well in this chaos. It's possible.
Yeah. You know, when we touch those little dark corners that some call conspiracy and, you know, all of the sort of fear, you know, messages that we've been getting, and people clearly are in a state of fear. Not everyone, but certainly too many. And you have to wonder, when we look at the bigger picture of reality and purpose in life, could it be that those challenges are really a means for us to discover who we really are? And I know that's I'm going out on a limb here, if you understand what I'm saying. In other words, opportunity resides in challenge, and maybe this is an ultimate test.
Yes, totally. And I was telling this, I was in Denmark just a week or two ago, and I was telling to Niels Harrit and his wife that are scientists and really researching and all this conspiracy and the 9/11 and the wars and all this. And I, at the end, you know, of the interview, after the interview, actually off camera, I was like, but it must be the opposite. If you're seeing all this darkness there that is happening in this world, I can guarantee that there is the opposite of as well as good as this darkness that is, because the universe is made of those polarities. If there is good, there is bad. Mm-hmm. And so I challenge them to look at what good is that going to create?
Right.
You know, and so we must see that in every event, whether it's a good or bad event, it's going to bring its polar opposite. So, and that helps us to bring back to a point zero, to a point of neutrality, to a point of harmony and peace and love and truth and grace, mm-hmm. and unity. Because if there is something bad that happens in our life, there is something great. And when we start looking like that at a problem, my God, do we get creative and something comes up. It unlocks the key to a solution, to a different paradigm, to something greater.
That's right.
And it overrides it very quickly, I've noticed. I'm just learning really very much because I've been challenged lately, and I'm learning to do this, and I'm so amazed at how we can turn gold into metal. You know, turn metal into gold. I mean, to alchemize things, to transmute them, to flip them around.
That's right.
And that we can do. We have free will.
Right. In other words,
we're not using it enough, and we're going to need to use it, especially with these times. Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's what really makes one wonder if these times were somehow ordered. Who knows? You know. And I always say I don't seek something to necessarily find the answer, but to go through the experience, as paradoxical as that may sound. And so, you know, with the challenges becoming more and more obvious and hitting individuals on so many different levels, whether it's, you know, health challenges, financial challenges, social challenges, whatever it may be, it seems to be forcing us to be that alchemist, that inner alchemist that's always been there and that's been dormant for so long. This to me is what the shift, at least in part, is all about. And we have a choice. We can either take this information and stick our head in the sand. And you know what they say, if your head is in the sand, you're forgive the expression, but the world is still happening around your, you know what, your butt. So, I think it's really about
ultimate
choice.
We have to
stop
searching and looking outside and really see that we're the one. You know, we're the one that we've been waiting for. We're the one that will find those answers. And it's just, more money, more possessions, more this, more that is not going to make the difference. We have to find all of that inside.
That's right.
And it's really, really important to strengthen that core
right now. Well, I'm
and
glad.
To love ourselves. It starts with loving ourselves.
Right.
In pieces for whatever we do, it's okay. Let's forgive ourselves. Let's move forward fast. Let's clear.
We need
to be light.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the money thing, because obviously that's the big word, or the lack thereof. And, you know, this is what you really talked about and journeyed through in your book, I Had No Money and I Liked It. So I want to segue and talk a little bit about the process for not only writing that book, but how you grew through that experience, which culminated in this wonderful book.
What a fun thing to do. Oh, my goodness. I am having so much fun with these books, because the first one was I Lost My Job and I Liked It.
Mm-hmm.
So here I am losing my job from the day to the next and being in the city of London and, oh, my goodness, how am I going to do this? And then deciding to write this book, live my dream, and then finding myself with just no more money. And I decided to share it in those two books, and I'm writing the third one, and it'll be a whole series, because, again, in every seemingly negative experience, there's something. And to me, and that's why the cover of the book is also green, because it's green as the money, but green as the heart chakra.
Mm.
Often the heart chakra is referred to green, because I feel there's a correlation there. Because for many, many years, I just knew... I was so afraid to love. I was protecting myself. My heart was closed, and I couldn't see it at that time, and I wouldn't see it. It was hard to use even those words, but I was so afraid to love. I would protect myself for everything. It's probably coming from my divorced parents, whatever reason it was, and I worked hard for 10 years in doing seminars and just letting go of those past events, but it was still just not quite there. And at the moment so where I lost my job and then I had no more money on my account, and I describe all those moments of panic, of total panic, and still applying the principles that I had learned and the teachings and following the synchronicities of life, finally my heart at the moment in the book and in my life for this whole year period that I describe in the book just cracked open. And you can clearly see the before, the after, how the objectives and the kind of rigidity and that I had before. And then all of a sudden, and ever since then, this being this going deeper and deeper in the natural abundance of life, going unconditionally, more and more unconditionally into things, opening up, seeing, feeling the gratitude, the beauty of the nature, the connection to people, the just this, it's everywhere. And then the more I go deeper into this gratitude for whatever that is, the more this journey, everything is being presented. I'm doing the Juicy Living Tour. The tour itself works on donations now.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable to receive so much support. And then I go into a city, and the person will offer. I would be in those just really, really nice top hotel offered by, because this person knows this person, and it's just like this magnificent. Really abundant life. It doesn't mean that all of it shows on the bank account. That has nothing to do with our true abundance. But we can live great, and we have this way of this is how much is on my bank account, so this is who I am. No, it was making me so miserable.
Right.
It was making me so miserable, and I was referring myself as to how much I had on my account and what my job title was and all of this. And I'm so grateful for having gone through these terrible moments of just total despair and praying and being on my knees and saying, now what? You know, where am I going now?
Mm.
And I remember one day I would walk a lot in nature at that point, and just one day I just felt all the love from the nature, and it just all of a sudden I start filling myself up in a total different way. And so I call it, the subtitle of the book is The Abundant Journey of an Open Heart, because I think that's what it's truly about.
Yeah. Well, it seems to me, Lilu, that you metamorphosized, and that was your spiritual breakthrough, and you bring the reader along with you on that journey. And as I've read the book, and it was wonderful, you do see that transformation. You know, you see the angst and the expectation, and perhaps even a bit of a closed heart that's starting to open. And by the time we get to the end of the book, we see a transformed Lilu, a juicy Lilu.
God, it feels so good to be out of prison, be out of the box, to just be myself and not pretend anymore and not play the game of everything is okay when it's not. You know, it's just so tiring. We have to let go of those old models.
It is energetically draining.
And sometimes it means changing relationships. Sometimes it means changing friends, jobs. Yes, but at least you're real. Isn't that more important, that you're real?
Yes.
That's the most important, that you're real to yourself, that you're authentic, aligned with your soul. Your soul can express itself.
Right.
Be real.
Yeah.
Please.
That's the big message. Big message. And I dare say we're starting to see people who are coming to that realization for themselves. You know, we both come from the business world, me from the corporate world. My husband and I still have a business, actually. And so, you know, I always say I have sort of a foot in different worlds, you know, that which is very static and sort of sterile. Still, there's some enjoyment to be gotten there. But in that world, I still see so much of that, Lilu. I still see so much of people defining themselves by their title, living vicariously through these very hollow images. And, you know, I like to think that perhaps I still have a foot in that world, because maybe I'll have the opportunity to pull some of those people out of that very false paradigm into the one that we're talking about, that's truly more authentic and really who we are.
Yeah, well, I wish you lots of luck with that, because it's true that the corporate world and a lot of people are not seeing it. And I personally, little by little, I could see that now I have very little contact with that, and the more it goes, just the more I think we're following our path and our calling, then it's like the people that keep on building this up, energized, and there's some true pioneers, I mean, our leaders like you, that are getting into those black holes, or getting into those places where they might not be as much awakening, and I truly honor that.
Yeah.
We all have our way of doing it, but I'm personally too sensitive or to be able to go into that and change them, because only when people are truly ready you can.
That's right.
I just prefer to people to come and then I can be there.
That's right.
Through the videos and it's more just effortless and flowing.
Yeah.
rather than go into something where you need to crack open something, and then that can be really tough to crack.
Right. Well, I certainly don't go with the expectation of doing that, because we all know that you can't force anyone to do anything. But if you are there, and I can't tell you the conversations that I've had with the corporate people, if you will, because they're people, they're human beings, and I'm finding that so many of them are not happy, and somehow in a very magic way will begin to talk about issues of spirituality and matters of spirituality, and I've actually seen some people break down in tears. So I like to think of myself as not being someone who's setting out to change a person, but that synchronistically those people are coming to me. That seems to be happening.
That's perfect.
Yeah. I want to get back to guests a little bit, because you have interviewed such a broad spectrum of the brightest, the best thinkers and philosophers and thought leaders on our planet right now, and so many subjects that you've covered, from science to metaphysics to New Age to conspiracy. So two-part question. If I may, who would you say are some of the most unforgettable interviews you've had? And B, what would you say is probably the subject that you resonate with the most?
I really did enjoy all the interviews I enjoy, and usually it's the last interview that I do that I will just marinate in and live in. But I really loved Dr. Bruce Lipton.
Mm. Who's wonderful.
That I've interviewed over in Hawaii about a year and a half ago. I really enjoyed also Dr. Joe Dispenza from What the Bleep. He's a neuroscientist. Wayne Dyer, of course, same thing. That was also in Hawaii for his leadership and conscious, really living it, you know, living what he's teaching. Because I find that it's not always all teachers that do that, unfortunately. And I'm kind of, that's also a side note, but I'm posting very soon a video about some of the practices in this industry that I'm not really aligned with. Mm-hmm. The whole fear-based mentality, marketing or pressure, peer pressure and all of that, or people that think that they're the incarnate one or special ones, messiahs or what have you, and all of these kind of things that are putting a lid on the whole beautiful, what really, truly, in its essence, spirituality is and being connected to each other.
Mm-hmm.
But but in the people I really loved, I love them. That's why I'm saying that I love them, because they're in integrity, I feel, with their life and what they're teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Joe Dispenza, Wayne Dyer, I really enjoyed Bruce Lipton, and Marcel Messing, Messings. He was in he's in Belgium. And he just has so much knowledge, and it was such a great conversation. I was like, oh, I love this, because he was summarizing it all. He has so many books and practice it and live it. It was so delicious to speak with him.
That's fantastic.
And he brings it all together.
Yeah.
The conspiracy and the love, you know, and the unconditional love. But it's a very balanced conversation, and I really enjoy this.
That's wonderful.
There's so many people I love, and it's really hard to, there's so many of them.
No favorite. No, you don't want to play favorites. You're right. They're
no,
all
because,
wonderful.
Everybody is bringing a piece of the puzzle.
That's
and sometimes
right.
It's in the not famous at all, and it will be this one sentence from this person that nobody has heard of that will totally transform some people's lives,
mm-hmm.
and our lives. And so you never know. You never know when it's going to come, and there's some delicious moments that are just such so deep and perfect. It's like, yes.
Yes.
And those feel good, but no, I wouldn't have a favorite, really not.
Tell us your story, Lulu, about Dr. Wayne Dyer. I know that that was an interesting journey in and of itself, where you sort of synchronistically met up with him, and I know it was a desire of yours to interview him. I think that's, I can't remember exactly where I heard that story, but I think it's phenomenal, and I'd love for the listeners to hear that little anecdote about how you came to interview Wayne Dyer.
Wayne Dyer, oh my goodness. Wayne lives a few times, I think, out of the year on Maui, one of the Hawaiian islands. And I knew this. I knew that he was in Kapalaha, Lahaina, sorry, on the west coast of Maui. And I knew he had a place there because I went there in 2004,
mm-hmm.
the first time in Hawaii. And at the time, I was doing a different kind of work, and I was there, and one of my intentions was to meet him, and ended up meeting him at that time, but just outside of the Unity Church where he was doing a speech. And so I came back, and I said, I knew it was possible on some levels, but the past years, he had a lot of publicity, and did a lot of PBS, and was very often interviewed by Oprah Winfrey, and I'm like, oh my goodness, he's like this inaccessible. Plus, I had heard that he had leukemia.
Right.
And so being a New York Times bestseller, you know, interviewed, I'm like, okay, but this is really a true heart desire, and it's an authentic one, and I just would love to interview this man. And after spending maybe 6 weeks or something like that all around the different islands, I finished with Maui, and I knew there were some people recording a movie, and they wanted him in that movie, but he didn't show up on the set, and I thought, okay, but his daughter did.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Serena? Serena showed up, and I thought, why? She's an awesome personality. I would love to interview her, and let's see how things are going to unfold from there. But I just thought, this is great. It's great to interview an author's daughter, you know, child. And I ended up interviewing her the next morning on the beach, and we had such a great conversation. I was so happy, fulfilled, and I just knew what I had, and I said to myself, if it's meant to be, if I'm meant to interview her dad, Wayne, then it will happen, and he will come to me. I was clear about that. I'm not going to do anything. So when we finished, I finished the interview with her. I was really, really tempted to ask her, can you put me in contact with your dad? But I thought, this is kind of putting her down as a person. It just didn't felt right. I'm like, this was a superb interview. If that's what's meant, I'm meant to put online, then that's it. And so I didn't tell her anything. I didn't ask her. And so I put the camera in the bag, et cetera. I drive back towards the place where I was staying. And when I arrive, I got a text message from her saying, well, my dad would be very happy to be interviewed by you. Wow. If you want, just come back in 15 minutes and he'll be in his apartment. And I received this news. I was like jumping up and down, like, oh my goodness, is this? And she said, I was texting back, oh really, oh my goodness, this is so juicy. And she said, yeah, but you didn't, because you didn't ask and because you were just, you're doing your thing, and that's it. It just happened. And when I saw Wayne and he opened the door, his apartment, and it was just there, very relaxed with his beret, because he had just came back from Croatia and a whole European tour, and said, yeah, you know, I said no to some movie makers and all those interviews lately, because he's now 71 and his message is already out so much and he's doing so many things that he said, this one, I just, spirit told me to do it, and I just wanted to do it, and I'll be very happy to do a 15-minute interview with you. And he asked me, how long do you usually interview people? I'm like, usually it's 40 minutes, it depends, 30, 40, an hour. But I'm like, I'm very happy with 15, let's do it. So we shoot the interview, and I asked him before if he was okay to speak of his leukemia, and so that's what we talked about, on John of God, and how he healed, and he spoke of entities, of very, you know, a lot of big things, and that's why I really appreciate Wayne Dyer, because he's always right there, coming out and just talking about it very naturally and openly, and I find that really beautiful. And so we had this awesome, it ended up being a 40-minute interview, and I ended up interviewing four of his kids that day, not just Serena, but Sky and Sans, and
that is,
and it was a wonderful
story.
We had a wonderful time.
That's an amazing
wonderful time.
Story.
Wonderful day with the Dyers.
I think that's such, well, first of all, I saw that interview, Lulu, and I've obviously seen many of your interviews, and I think that to date, to me, it resonated with me on a level that I can't even explain. I was just so happy. And then obviously once I heard the story of how you came together with him, I think that's such an example of how things work here. How we work, that, you know, there's communication, verbal communication, but there's also that spiritual, nonverbal communication. And I think there's no doubt that you connected with him on a level. And, you know, we're sender, receiver, transmitters, right? And you sent out that message. That desire is what reached him on a nonverbal level, and he answered you.
It was a soul request, and when it's authentic, when it's aligned, and the funny thing, you know, with the law of attraction, when you declare or want something, is like there's this moment where you're like, oh no, that's it. This is now, it really means it's not going to happen. But mm-hmm. It's in that moment where you have to flip it and say, no, I just continue to trust it will happen. Or it's going to happen if it's meant to be. And you just flip it right there, and that's the big difference right there. And you just stay in the energy until the end, even though if it seems totally impossible by then that it happens. Because then there's those last minute, that's when things really can shift things around, it can change. And Wayne, yeah, there was this heart-to-heart conversation, though of course he's so interesting, I could barely ask a question, you know, he talks and talks and talks. We just had the wonderful moment, and most of the time it's really beyond the words. That's what I say to people I interview. I said, don't worry, because some people, it's their first interview when I interview them, and I'm like, don't worry.
Right.
It's really all about us being present and connected and in gratitude, and things will be shared on camera beyond the words.
Yeah, well, That's just an amazing story. And this is what I mean when I say you, just by living your life, are you're teaching people to be their authentic selves, and that it's far better to pursue that than some boxed reality that somebody told us to live. So we thank you so much for that. What would you say is the biggest lesson that you've learned from this journey of building this new life for yourself?
The biggest lesson is to trust. Is to trust that all is well and perfectly in order.
To trust.
And there is really this just this life force, this infinite intelligence that is there, that I would say I call upon every day and work with and co-create with, because I want to serve. I want to help and kind of be and help the universe to have hands and feet, and we can all do that when we just start listening and trusting. And so the trust is, it was a big one for me to trust. Believe and to just know. And I have those moments of doubts and of panic and of fears, but the more it goes, the more I'm just learning to trust. And as I said earlier, if there is something that seems negative, I just remember that there will be something really juicy behind also that is going to come. And that was much needed. So if we're presented with challenges, if I'm presented with challenge, if you're presented with a challenge today or tomorrow, just know that and trust that everything is perfectly in order.
That's right.
And wait, and kind of you kind of fall into that, or I would say a drop into that moment, even though if you're afraid, and then you'll see that some new things can then emerge. Because as long as we're fearful and we're afraid, we hold so tight that nothing else can come in.
That's right. You're absolutely right. Well, I have a saying that goes, when faith is all you have, you get to see faith move mountains firsthand. And I think many of us through adversity have lived that message, including yourself. So there's so much to be excited about right now, so much to have faith and trust in. So I want you to tell us a little bit more about your Juicy Living Tour. I know that you've done the U.S. It was hugely successful. Have you wrapped up Juicy Living Tour Europe? Where are you right now and where are you going?
I'm about in the middle of it, or even the beginning, a third of it probably, because it's going to be a year. I started in April, and it's going so wonderfully, very different and very similar. It's similar messages, and people really opening up and sharing their stories and sharing their turning point and how they're awakening and came out of the corporate world and were burnt out and start creating this new free life for people that have been healed. And it's wonderful being European. I'm European. I'm French and American. I was born there, but my parents are French, and then I grew up actually in both countries. But I knew that in France there was, and in Europe there was some resistance, because it's older countries, and it's very intellectual, and just a lot of questioning. And the media have done such a great job, unfortunately, here to kind of brainwash people, and people are afraid of being manipulated or changed. And so I'm so grateful for last year's tour, where I really build up confidence and love for what I do, that now it's more and more and more unconditional, so I can just be there and do what I need to do in Europe, no matter what resistance there can be. And frankly, I see no resistance now, because it's I'm meeting so many wonderful people, and there's such a beautiful passion and wanting to share. That it really there's some great conversations, like really deep, great, wonderful conversations, and it's throughout the whole country. I mean, it's all Europe. Is well, I went through mainly Western Europe right now, so Belgium, Holland, the whole Scandinavia, so mm-hmm. Denmark, Norway, or Ireland and England and France, but there's a lot more to do in Eastern Europe as well. And mm-hmm. I will extend it to kind of even push it to Morocco, and I push it to Russia and all those countries, because Eastern Europe is just so bubbling up. They so want to share their juice. Mm. They so are ready, because you see, a lot of things are coming from America, And a lot of these people are receiving all the information from Americans, American authors and all of it. So they're so happy, and we're so happy to be able to share it now from Europe back to America and throughout the world, frankly. So it's like this, the energy feels like, and the information feel like it's starting to circulate now.
Wow.
In a magnificent vortex like that. And it's beautiful what the internet can allow us to do. I'm so grateful for the internet.
It's an amazing, amazing tool. It is a neutral tool, and I think there are people, unfortunately, that have used it for less than benevolent reasons. But for those of us that understand how it can be such a catalyst for good, it is a wonderful thing. And you have done a beautiful job at positively leveraging this thing we call technology. I had no money and I liked it. The Abundant Journey of an Open Heart. I encourage absolutely everyone to go out and get that book and work on your open heart. I'm also very pleased to say that Lilu was kind enough to offer a book. She will be signing. We're going to be running a contest on Conscious Life News, so stay tuned for that. But Lilu, tell us where folks can get your book.
The book, you can get it on Amazon.com. You can order it at your library, and the librarian can bring it over and you can pick it up, or you can order it on Barnes & Noble's or on the JuicyLivingPublishing.com.
And you have several websites.
You will find it. It will find you. I can guarantee that.
Well, we're going to make sure everybody has the information. Also, your websites, plural. I know you have several. Tell us.
The videos right now are being posted on the JuicyLivingTour.com. That's all the interviews, but they're being uploaded on my YouTube page, which has right now 15 million views. It's YouTube.com/LiluMassé.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
And then you have the website, LiluMassé.com, LiluMassé.com.
Great.
And, yeah, that's...
Okay. Well, we'll make sure to list all the information so you can make sure to tune into Lilu. Again, just doing wonderful work. Lilu, thank you so much for joining us, and lots of juice to you.
Oh, thank you. I had such a great time, and thank you for also everybody listening, and thank you for all the support and this, and really I just send you lots and lots of love and beautiful energy here from France, and make it happen. Make it happen.
Love you.
Let it happen.
Wonderful. God bless. God bless. If you're not familiar with Lilu's great work and her Juicy Living Tour, I encourage you to visit her websites, lilumassé.com and juicylivingtour.com. You can also pick up a copy of her juicy book, I Had No Money and I Liked It, The Abundant Journey of an Open Heart. Thanks for listening to Higher Journeys. Until next time, I'm Alexis Brooks.